Well, good afternoon and welcome to our worship service together. Want to give a just welcome all the moms and then want to think about moms today on this Mother's Day. Apologize we were not here this morning, so I don't want to repeat anything, but do want to take a moment and just acknowledge the moms. As I was thinking about moms, and I wonder, and women in general, even moms to be thinking about moms and thinking about God's character traits and just knowing, like, I wonder how much God feels, right? So we know Jesus came and he was fully man, and so he had all sorts of feelings and he wept and he, right? I mean, he was full man, and knowing that feelings are real, God gave them to us, they're created. I think moms are better at feelings, right? That's where I'm coming to. They have so much more. Is intuition the right word? So welcome. And I don't have any necessarily Mother's Day scriptures planned out. I mean, that was this morning, but let's go ahead and read, and we'll start in the Old Testament. Let's read from the book of Psalms. Let's read Psalm 145 together. Psalm 145. I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and great to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glory, majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and a dominion endureth throughout all generation. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raise up all those that he bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is close unto all them that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him, and he will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak thy praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. Let's sing together out of the Hymns of Zion Brown Book. Let's sing 276, I Must Tell Jesus, 276.
I Must dost thou, Jesus,
all of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own.
Pray together. Father God, we come to you with bowed hearts and bended knees in the great name of the risen Messiah, Jesus, your blessed Son, whom you've demonstrated your love for your creation by sending him to this earth as the Messiah, who died upon the cross and shed his blood and 3 days rose again. Lord, we praise you that we have an avenue to heaven, that we have a hope, an eternal life in heaven, and not to be destroyed. Lord, we praise you that we have a chance for peace and joy on this earth, even in the midst of hardships, in the midst of unmet desire, in the midst of life not going the way we planned. There's peace and there's joy and there's no better way, Father, to live but through your name, and we claim that promise. Lord, we pray as we think about Jesus alone, and Lord, help us know Jesus more. We get this, as we sang about, we get distracted by the temptations of the world, Lord, but if we know you more, and by your grace, we'll overcome and we claim those promises. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you, Lord, that we have brothers and sisters and we can do this life together. We thank you for our Sunday school, Lord. We pray a blessing upon them. We pray that the teachers will show our kids love, your love. We pray for truth. We pray that there'll be authentic biblical connections amongst the students. Lord, as we want to pray for our seniors and as they prepare to graduate in this end of the school year season, that they will walk close with you, that you will woo their hearts and guide their paths. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. I should have prayed for moms. And a variety there of things to pray for. Let's dive back into Psalm 145 together as I was reading this passage for the first time today, and thinking about feelings and desires and God's goodness, I saw some of his truths shine out in these 21 verses. One is, as you think about what is the purpose of life, I love the purpose given in Psalm 145. Does anybody here struggle? We do all at times. Struggle with what's the purpose, right? Why am I here? There's great answers in Psalm 145. I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and great is to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. O generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of his glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of the righteousness. The first seven verses, right? We're going to show God bigger. We're going to tell people about our great God who sent his son to redeem us. We're going to sing about it. We're going to do our work day to show God bigger. We're going to raise our kids to show God bigger. We're going to be in marriage and unity and fight for oneness to show God bigger. We're going to carry our disappointments to show God bigger. We got purpose. We have a room full of kids back there. We're going to show God bigger to them. Right? So may this week, may we be encouraged by of the purpose that we've been granted. We're going to show God bigger. We're going to take the trash out to show God bigger. We're going to come and watch our grandkids participate in activities to show God bigger. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In the harshness, right, there's false theologies. There's a lot of false theologies out there. And as humans, as people, don't know how to handle when life's terrible to us. And I love these verses because these verses tell me that God loves me, that God is gracious to me. Right? Doesn't mean life's void of suffering. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That's a great Mom's Day verse too, isn't it? Full of graciousness and full of compassion. Moms are full of compassion. Moms love their kids. Not always slow to anger. Not always merciful. Always gracious, but always full of compassion. Always full of compassion. That compassion comes out in different ways. Give yourself grace. Right? Give yourself mercy. As I watch moms, right, and moms are fun to watch, and there's some really fun YouTube clips. There's this one that it's this guy, he's like 20 or something, and he's kind of making fun of moms, but he kind of right on, and he makes fun of teenage kids too, and it's true. But I really think. Let me drive home the point of moms are full of compassion. Full of compassion. And that's God-given. Moms want the best for their kids, even when the kids don't want it. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, showing God bigger, to make known and of the sons of men to the mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The majesticness of the kingdom, right? Something I don't relate well in our republic that we live in. The Lord upholdeth all that fall down, and raise up all that are bowed down, that be bowed down. These last verses are very precious in Psalm 145, right? What's our job? What's your job? What's God's job? As we read these last few verses together, we're going to see what God's job is, and we're going to see what our job is. We just got to do our job. That's it. And He'll take care of the rest. What's your job? What are you supposed to do? We're supposed to bow down. Verse 14, we are to be bowed down. We bow down, the Lord upholdeth. When we bow down before the Lord, He will raise us up when we fall. We bow down. And then when you fall, you'll be raised up. Humility. Bow down. Submission. Honoring a king. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest their meat in due season. Okay, so He gives the meat, right? He gives the provision in due season. We are to wait. We wait. We bow down. We wait. 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We have our desires satisfied. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is close unto them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him, and He will hear their cry, and will save them. Okay, so our part, our job, the Lord draws is close to us if we call upon Him. We are to call upon His name in truth. He fulfills our desires. So I wonder if He fulfills our desires or He changes our desires to fulfill our desires. I'm not saying He's going to fulfill all your desires as you feel them, but He does say He'll fulfill all your desires. But He might just change them. He can change our desires. So if our desires are not lining up with God, we'll change them. He fulfills our desires. If we fear Him, we are to cry to Him. We are to fear Him. He will save us. He will hear us. He will fulfill our desires. Verse 19. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but the wicked are destroyed. Our job is to love Him. We are to love Him. And He will preserve us. If your job is to be wicked, if you take the mantle of wickedness, you will be destroyed. But that's not our job. That's not what God wants. My mouth, our mouth, shall speak thy praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name. Let all flesh, let all humans, let all creation bless His holy name forever and ever. Right? God reveals Himself even through creation. He's desiring for His people, for His humanity, for all to come close to Him. Let's read from the, we still got time. Let's read from the New Testament. Let's read from Matthew. Matthew 22. We'll start in verse 1. The soft rustling of the pages. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and saying, so who did He answer? I want to back up. Verse 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard these parables, they perceived that He spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude because they took Him to be a prophet. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, thy kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage of his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattings are killed, and they and all things are ready. Come unto thy marriage. But they made light of it and went their own ways, one to his farm, one to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. And when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their cities. Then said he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And the king came in to see the guest, and there he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou hither not in a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him to outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and they were God's chosen people, and they were to be their instruments, and they were to be about Psalm 145, sharing the goodness amongst other people. And they weren't. They were hoarding the power of their position, right? They were living for themselves. And so Jesus is talking clearly to them. Listen, and He speaks the parable, and He speaks in terms they would understand. These would be men of prominence who would have great weddings and would be very offended if they had a big wedding party and nobody came, and would be very offended if they were giving their daughter out and somebody came in and cut off jeans. Right? What is wedding garment stuff? I don't quite, as I read that so many times, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You got to wear a robe? Wait a minute. This does make sense. When you go to a wedding, aren't you usually dressed up a little bit? Sometimes more than others. I've never worn flip-flops and shorts to a wedding. There's a place for flip-flops and shorts. Right? Father's Day is a great day to wear flip-flops and shorts. But to a wedding, right? It's somebody who just shows up. You can picture that. You ever underdress for an event sometimes? Right? And we don't do it on purpose, but all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, I'm underdressed. That doesn't feel good at all. So this the wedding, so we have several groups here, and I'm jumping back and forth, but thinking about the guy without the wedding garment on, right? Did he do that on purpose? Was he just lazy? He didn't have the wedding garment on. Jumping back to the first group, right? The king wanted everybody to come, but they chose not to. I'm going to go to my farm. I'm going to go to my business. Right? There's truths in there for us to take home. What distracts us from kingdom work? What distracts us from kingdom work? Jesus is calling us to have deep relationship with him, and he's calling us to Psalm 145, to showing his name bigger. What's keeping you from that? What's keeping you from attending a wedding feast? They're awesome. Aren't weddings really fun? It's really fun. It's a great time. And then some, right? There's a remnant who are so evil. Who did they kill the servants? Who took the servants and just killed them? Is that not enough just not to come? But what would drive you to kill the servant? Are you feeling guilty? You can't stand the message, so you want to kill the message? What would make them in this parable to entreat them spitefully and slew them? Right? A small portion of them. And then the king comes with justice, right? That would be an appropriate response. That would be an appropriate response to come and to take out that evil remnant. And then he goes and he's saying, we're inviting the Gentiles, right? We're inviting everybody. I bet as Peter and Matthew wrote this later, and as the church was becoming one between Gentiles and Jewish, they're like, Jesus was maybe talking about the Gentiles, right? The Pharisees and the religious people, right? The priests of the day weren't doing it. And the apostles, the fishermen, were the chosen, were now the vessels to go out and share the good news, showing God bigger and setting up the church, the age of the church. But some come without wedding garments. So there's definitely sometimes reading these verses are really good for me, because sometimes as you think about God and you're like, okay, I know hell's real. I've been taught about hell, and it's terrible. But sometimes I doubt. Can I share that? Sometimes I'm like, hey, wow, that's pretty hard, right? As a father, as a parent, I would want to discipline my kids to draw them closer to me. That's what should happen. Sometimes I'm just mad, but take that apart. So, but I find a lot of comfort in it too. Okay, no, this is right. I do understand this biblically. Psalm 145 and Matthew 22 agree. right? There is severe punishment. The wicked will be destroyed. The first remnant were slaughtered by the army. The man was thrown out. Right? Then he said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Life's so short. Right? Life's so short, and we are rapidly becoming to the end. And we're going to have eternity in heaven, or we're going to be in outer darkness of gnashing of teeth. And not only is our life so short, our lives are so short. And those around us, lives are so short. And they are rapidly. Our friends, our children, our family, our church, it's on a rapid progression.
It is sometimes difficult to fathom just what the characteristics of hell must be like. And it's hard to fathom just that torment for eternity. And yet, it's important for us to understand that truth. And I think one thing that it does is underscores, again, what we've heard really throughout the day, the love of God. Right, to understand His love in going to the cross and taking upon Himself our sin and experiencing that torment in our place. That's the love of God for us. That's the love of a mother for her children. Right, to take what's ugly, to take what is unpleasant, to take all that. Right upon Himself, that we would not have to experience it, and so I think we've been blessed in this day just to think again about that characteristic of God, His love for us, His self-sacrifice, and then to equate it with the love that our mothers have for their children. And really thanking all of you mothers for that love, and just encouraging you in that, as Brother Eric said this morning, it's not always immediate gratification, but that love will remain in our children's hearts forever. And may we, in response to that, love our mothers in return, love our wives in return, and then, as we heard this afternoon, love God in return for His love for us. Magnify His name, extol His name. Right? And so we've been blessed by the Word, and we would just ask a brother to lead us, or to... give a closing hymn, and then as we sing, please consider leading us in a closing prayer again.
Love of God is great, and God is unrepentant, and ever shall be yours beyond. Heavenly Father, we do gladly bow and thank Thee for this blessed day and can say that it was good to be here. We heard many good teachings from Thy Word and many teachings and memories from our mothers, and we just pray that they might be blessed and that we might be blessed for having been here. And we ask a blessing upon the ministers who so freely bring forth the Word to us week after week. May we not take that for granted. And we're thankful, Father, for Thy Word and all of the instruction that it gives. We're thankful for the freedom, too, to be here and to assemble. And it brings to mind the many, even around the world, who believe in Thee but might be persecuted for their faith. We just ask that Thou wouldst be with them and give them peace and grace. So may we always, Father, look to Thee as our source of help and strength, and be thankful for the countless blessings of which we are undeserved, and yet we are so freely given. So go with us now as we part. Be with us throughout this week is our prayer. Through Christ, we ask it. Amen.